Well, I'm not sure if you've heard this story or not, but there is a new edition of Mark Twain's classic Huckleberry Finn coming out next month, and it is very different from the version you may have read in school or recently. The publisher's New South Books, and what they've done is they've taken out the N-word from the book. The N-word is used more than 200 times in Huckleberry Finn, and in its place they've used the word slave. New South Books editor-in-chief Randall Williams told The Takeaway that removing the slur is meant to provide kids a way into the great work of art without getting offended or thinking that the N-word is acceptable. Some educators feel they can't teach this book with that offensive language in it.
The motivation for this was to make the book accessible again to a lot of students and teachers who don't feel that they can use it with the N-word in it. They just could not successfully teach the book in mixed-race schools in Alabama.
All right. Well, we have David Wall Rice with us to sort through what seems to me to be a kind of a complicated issue. David Wall Rice, assistant professor in the Department of Psychology at Morehouse College in Atlanta. Good morning.
Good morning, friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I got to admit, I'm pretty torn on this issue. I mean, in one case, Mark Twain is easily one of my top five favorite writers.
Sure.
On the other hand, I'm a descendant of slaves, direct descendant. I can understand the power of the N-word to offend and hurt people. But to expurgate literature, to edit a work of art, I'm not sure. David, is this right or wrong?
Oh, well, I think I totally agree with you in terms of it being very complicated. I think it seems that the rationale for coming at, substituting the N-word for the word slave is coming from a good place, but I think it's trying to solve an ill without doing the heavy lifting. And I think that, you know, when we're talking about we don't want to offend and all those kinds of things, well, that's what kind of Mark Twain is meant to do. He's agitating a situation. We know that he's a renowned supporter of emancipation and an abolitionist. And I think that it becomes important for us to look at the complexity of the issue of race during that time and into present. And I think that when we remove words and when we begin to kind of sanitize in much the same way that the Texas Board of Education has sanitized things, when we look at, you know, how it is that we appreciate Thomas Jefferson or some of the other founding fathers, what we begin to do is we begin to lose an appreciation of how it is that we've negotiated issues of race throughout the United States to present.
But at the same time, there is an argument to be made that young kids, I mean, and there are students who read Huckleberry Finn in their classrooms at age 11, 12, or 13, which is relatively young. And maybe they would see the fact that that word is included in a great piece of art, the fact that it is okay.
I think that, I mean, certainly that argument can be made too, and I understand that. But again, I think that the heavy lifting is requisite on what it is that we're teaching our young people. So if we think it important enough to present Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, then we have to do it in kind of a full-bodied sort of way, in my estimation. I mean, at age 11, I grew up, you know, I'm a direct descendant of slaves also, and I grew up in Texas. And so I had an understanding when I was 11 years old that the N-word was used, and I knew what the word slave meant, and there was kind of this differentiation between the two. And, you know, the way that I see the word slave today, of course, is different than I did at 11, but the way that I see it is that it's kind of this a word that has this kind of associated static experience that precipitates, you know, this kind of contemporary social reality where the N-word is more dynamic, and it's this idea of sustained psychological violence that's associated with it, which actually eloquently explains, you know, the horror of American racism. And I think that if we don't communicate to our young people what the N-word means, the psychological weight that's associated with it, and you kind of substitute it with this sanitized word slave, you know, not that I want to be either, quite frankly, but what we do is we cheat ourselves and suggesting that we've surpassed this issue of racism and racialized realities when we haven't yet.
There's another argument here, which is something that I actually talked about with my class when I studied Huckleberry Finn in high school. You know, Huckleberry Finn was published in the 1880s.
Sure.
The N-word was not an uncharged or an inoffensive word then.
Right.
And there are some who say that Mark Twain, who, as you said, was a champion of emancipation, used it deliberately, that because Jim was really the most moral, the best character in terms of humanity in the book, that
right.
perhaps he was using it to kind of point out how that word didn't fit him.
Exactly. And so, again, we're looking at the complexity of what it is that race looks like within this kind of iconic piece of Americana and American literature. And I think that if we're, and again, I'm coming from a psychological perspective, right?
Right.
I'm no Twain historian or anything like that. But I think that if we're going to kind of talk about Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, if we're going to talk about Tom Sawyer, if we're going to talk about N-word Jim, that we really need to do it in a responsible way that looks at the criticism of the times then and how it, you know, maps itself to today's, you know, behaviors.
But, you know, I mean, there are plenty of words that they update. There's plenty of great works of art that they update for modern times. There's Shakespeare that they put into language that kids can easily absorb. There's lots of things where they alter it in order to make it more understandable and I guess in some cases less offense for high school kids. I mean, in most cases, there's no complaint about that. Is it just this word? Is there something about this particular word that just kind of sets it apart in a class of its own?
I think yes is the short answer to that, and certainly we know that there's revisionist writing from everything of what you talked about to the Bible, but I think that because it's such an intro, I mean, what we said that it's used over 200 times, 219 times, including the index or something like that, I think was the count. I think that what becomes important is that it's an integral part of this piece of literature, and it's not something that can kind of be skated over. And I think that it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't an inoffensive word at the time, and it still isn't an inoffensive word, which is why we're suggesting, or some are suggesting, removing it. But I think that for us not to deal with what that word means socially is irresponsible. I mean, I really think it's irresponsible, and what we're doing is we're not doing the heavy lifting that's necessary. And then we have kind of these expressions of kind of subverted racialized experiences or racism that kind of leaks out, and we're like, oh, but wait, we're kind of this new South. But if we haven't dealt with the full experience of what racism looks like, then we're making mistakes.
All right, that's David Well Rice, assistant professor of psychology at Morehouse College, talking about a new edition of Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, in which they've removed the N-word and replaced it with the word slave.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.